Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio, our first edition of 2019. Happy New Year, everyone. I want to welcome Lisa McGuire from Open Window Marketing and Paul Purcell from InfoQuest, two fantastic guests. I want to get to them in just a second, but I want to remind everyone that we are live from our studio inside Digital Ignition. And Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000-square-foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video recording studio, a fantastic break room, and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink. Obviously, I didn't have enough this morning. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com. So our first guest of the year, 2019, Lisa McGuire of Open Window Marketing. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you for having me, John.
So talk about Open Window Marketing. Tell us about what you do.
Sure. A lot of business owners, they have a vision for their business, but they're not really sure how to effectively market. And they end up getting frustrated because they can't find the right clients. So what Open Window Marketing does is we come in and we help create strategies and messages that will help you find the ideal client that will stay with you for the long term. And that way the business owner can grow their revenue, they can maximize their marketing spend, and they can get closer to reaching their vision.
You know, it's interesting you start right out with ideal client. I was in a conversation with some colleagues yesterday, and we were talking about how few businesses really have identified who their ideal client is.
Yeah, it's very important because if you think about all the time and energy that you spend onboarding a client, if it's not a great fit, it ends up everybody walks away and really nobody wins. So you want to really invest a lot of time and focus into making sure you do have the client that's a good fit for you.
So beyond understanding your ideal client, what are some other common problems that you see out there for business owners?
Yeah, I think, you know, when a business owner has a vision, there's really two main problems. First is learning how to develop influence. And we hear a lot about making sure that you have great relationships. But developing influence is really about building trust. And to build trust, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. So first you have to develop the empathy for your client, understanding really what they're going through and understanding the position they're in. And then second, you come along once you develop some of that empathy and they know that you understand and care about them, is bringing in your authority or your credibility. And so once you have that influence, then that's how you build your community or build your tribe and you have those raving fans. So that's the first thing, is developing influence. Second, I would say, is really internal. It's having the confidence to be able to bring that vision to fruition. And being confident, you know, as business owners, we're all looking around, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? But really it starts with understanding the value that you bring to your client.
So, there's a lot in that, for sure. But, you know, one of the things I hear in that is, I mean, as entrepreneurs, I'll say we, because we're all guilty of this. You know, we entrepreneurs kind of walk in our own path, and we're used to looking through things through our own eyes instead of our client's eyes, right?
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about, I guess, some specific things business owners need to be paying attention to in 2019 as they look ahead.
Yes. In 2019, as it has been, you know, in the past couple of years, here's what's happening is because of technology, we're seeing more and more messages. Actually, we are bombarded with more than 3,000 messages every day. And if you think about that, that turns into a lot of noise. So you've got to figure out how do you stand out in the marketplace. And the number one mistake most business owners make is talking about themselves. And so when you talk about yourself, the client is thinking, well, what does that have to do with me? All the client or customer is thinking about is, I have this problem, and I need to help find somebody to solve it. So as you're talking about yourself, they're thinking, oh, well, they've got their problem. I need to go find someone to help me solve my problem. So as an example, when someone comes to your website, you have 3 to 5 seconds to capture them, or you've got a good chance of them bouncing off. So immediately they have to see, where is the value for me in this company?
So talking about problems you solve as opposed to your features and benefits.
Exactly.
Got it. So there's a lot of different marketing companies out there, and what makes you different?
Well, what open window marketing does is a lot of what not other marketing companies do. Most marketing companies, you think, okay, I need a logo or I need a pretty website, so I'm going to go to this marketing company. But what we do is we come in before you go to the execution point. You really need to think about who is your client and how you're going to reach them and what type of messages are going to resonate with them. So we get to the core of who your business is and what they're about. And I think the thing a lot of business owners do is they look around and they see what everyone else is doing, so they think they have to do it too. And it doesn't necessarily apply to every business. You've got to really look at what's working for you and what's not working for you and start from there. So, John, I kind of liken it to a wound. If we have a wound, you know, a lot of times we'll put a Band-Aid on it, and it doesn't ever really heal. So your marketing's like that. If you don't get down to the core of what is that dirt in your wound and clean it out and figure from the very beginning what you need, then you're not going to get anywhere. So that's what we do, is we come in and we really help accelerate that vision by identifying that.
We're speaking with Lisa McGuire, and Lisa is the owner, founder of Open Window Marketing. Now, Lisa, one of the things that, to your point, I think I see business owners do a lot of times is they're looking more at the tactics of marketing. I need to be on Facebook, or I need to be on LinkedIn, or what have you, as opposed to kind of the bigger picture strategy that you're talking about, right?
Exactly. And that's where a lot of business owners are wasting money. And that's what's so frustrating to watch, is they're jumping into Facebook or LinkedIn, which there's nothing wrong with those, but it has to build into an overall strategy. So one of the best things that you can do and the best investments you can make is really having a marketing plan. And the marketing plan doesn't need to be long-term, maybe just something for about 12 months. But coming in and figuring out, okay, what are you doing and measuring what's working and seeing what you're doing, but is it really working? What do you need to get rid of? And then trying to come up with what is the message that's going to resonate with your client, and then developing that plan. And that plan is something that is flexible, but again, if you start out on a trip and you don't have a roadmap, you're going to end up pretty much wherever you land. So if you really want to maximize your marketing spend, is starting out with a plan.
So let's talk about the end of that plan, though. I mean, you mentioned having that plan helps you evaluate your return on investment.
Exactly.
a little bit better. But how do you measure the return of the intangibles? I mean, if you're trying to build your reputation, you know, that's an intangible, right? So how do you advise clients on that?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of things, I've done some marketing surveys in some recent weeks with co-working spaces. And what I got back from a lot of people is a lot of their marketing techniques is word of mouth referral, which is really important. And as business owners, when a new client comes in, there's a couple of things you could do. Is always asking, how did you hear about us? Because you want to know, is that ad that you put on Facebook, is it really bringing you a return? Or if you do have an ad on Facebook, have it go to a designated landing page on your website so you're able to see exactly where these people are coming from. You can also look at when people come in as new clients, just asking, how did you find out about us and what attracted you to us? Because that's going to, if that's a person that's converted into a client for you, then that helps you understand how to find new ones.
And there's a system and process around asking all those questions, right?
There
so,
is.
Yeah, getting in that habit and having a process for that, which I would imagine you help business owners with.
Absolutely. You have to be consistent in it.
So talk a little bit more broadly about how you work with a client. What does a typical engagement look like for you?
Yeah, so typically what I like to do is come in and start with a marketing strategy session. And marketing strategy sessions are 3 90-minute sessions. We can either do them in person or online. And what we'll do is first an assessment of your current marketing activities. Then we're going to help you develop 7 key messages that you're going to be able to use in all your marketing that will resonate with your clients. And then finally, we'll come up with a list of marketing activities for you to move forward and execute within the next 12 months. So just that 4.5 hour time frame is a great investment to get you on target, and so you're not distracted what your neighbor down the street is doing and working for him but may not work for you.
That sounds like you get folks organized right on the front end as opposed to a scattershot approach. Let's fire and see what happens, right?
Yes, it's called the spray and pray.
Ah,
spray
I love
content,
it.
Content, and you pray that it works.
I love it. I love it. Now, you're also a Story Brand Certified Guide. Talk about that.
Yes, that is correct. So there is a book out right now, a best-selling book called Building a Story Brand, Clarifying Your Messages So Customers Listen, and that is by Donald Miller. And so Donald has this organization that's based out in Nashville, Tennessee. And so he started providing this service to businesses, going in and helping people clarify their message. And so then people started contacting him and said, could you do it for my company? So they really made a strategic decision and decided, you know, we don't want to do this within our company. Let's find some very good marketers that are out there that we can then build our own marketing firm. So I went with Donald's organization and became certified as one of his guides.
Wow, sounds great. So talk a little bit about your ideal client niche markets that you serve.
Sure. Well, you've heard me refer to vision a couple of times during this interview, and I have a special place in my heart for people who have a vision-driven business. And the reason for that is your vision is typically tied into your purpose. And we're very passionate about our purpose. So you've got a really good chance of being successful if you do have a vision-driven business. You just have to overcome how to reach your people that you need to bring along. I also work with service-based businesses, small to medium service-based businesses. And the reason why that's so critical is people aren't going to do business with you if they don't trust you. So that's where I can come in and help a business develop that trust so people that will then want to do business with them. I also work with entrepreneurs, nonprofits, and I've got quite a few clients that are in the personal brand space, so that's coaches or consultants.
Where trust is extremely important.
Very important.
Cool. So I would imagine you, someone can call you and get an initial consultation as to whether they're a good fit for you.
Yes. We do a discovery call. And the phone number, if you'd like to contact me, is 678-520-7660.
Excellent. So Lisa McGuire, Open Window Marketing. Any other contact information you'd like to share as we wrap it up?
Sure. If you want to see how this really works in action, I invite you to visit my website. It's Open Wind Marketing, openwindmarketing.com, and you can see how that looks in action.
Sounds great. Lisa McGuire, Open Window Marketing. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, John.
Absolutely. Folks, if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks or bookkeeping or marketing or presentations or workshops or hearing that list just get you depressed, what you need to do is engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. Not a temp agency or placement firm, Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. We lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. Now we turn to Paul Purcell, who offers us from his perch at InfoQuest, is the name of his company, offers us a more sober look at the world, Paul, right?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, glad to be here. First and foremost, I think people should understand that as a terrorism and disaster preparedness consultant and trainer, one of the first things I tell people is don't panic.
Now, that's hard to do, right?
Really.
To not panic.
It's kind of counterintuitive to my own marketing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I tell people the sky is not falling, that we are surrounded by solutions and assets on a daily basis, and they outnumber our threats 100-1 if you know where to look. So my focus is that we really are safe, and that there is a world more that you could do for your own preparedness, and that of if you're in a corporate setting, there is so much more you can do to protect your employees than most people know about. So I'm always offering information on how to help, how to make people safer, and how to make people more confident and more secure physically and emotionally.
Cool. Now, let's widen out here just a little bit, because we kind of focused in on terrorism, which is what gets the headlines. But you do a wide variety of trainings and consulting around a lot of different potential disasters, potential problems, right?
True. The truth of the matter is, even though terrorism grabs the headlines in the media, statistically we're far more likely to face something of a family emergency or a natural disaster. And natural disasters, even though terrorism, again, grabs the headlines because of the insidious nature of human, maliciousness, Mother Nature always wins. Mm. Mother Nature will look at the biggest terror attack and go, well, that's just adorable. Mm. Hold my Chardonnay.
Wow. So let's talk about, I guess, the news in general. You talked about the headlines. You know, when we look at the headlines, it looks like the world's getting a lot more dangerous. People want to really get in their homes and pull up the covers and not come out. Is it really true that the world is more dangerous now than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
No. And again, counterintuitive to my marketing plan. But what we have is more media. Statistically, we do, since the world is increasing in population, we do have more attacks. We do have more crime. There's an issue with potential climate change issues and things like this, to where we have more weather-related disasters, but we also have more geologic-related disasters. Interestingly enough, a couple of other planets are going through some changes too. Jupiter and Venus are experiencing the effect of solar storms. Their weather patterns are changing. So it's not something that's just facing us. But statistically, we're on a slight increase, but we are hearing the media message through so many more sources, through so many more times a day, more repetitions, because if you put a germ under a microscope, it looks like Godzilla. And Godzilla sightings sell ad space. Mm. So we're going to hear about the negative more than we hear about the positive. But overall, even though we should always maintain vigilance and have good preparedness and monitor our own safety and that of those around us, the world is really not becoming an insurmountable minefield. We're not increasing in danger. We're not all going to perish tomorrow.
Now, you work with businesses mostly, correct? Or just talk about I'm making a statement. I need to be asking a question. Tell me about the businesses that you or the kind of clients that you work with.
It's an interesting smattering. I've been blessed to work with a lot of different groups. This past December, we had our annual Business Continuity Summit, which was created and hosted by the Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange. So we had a day-long summit with over 300 law enforcement officials from FBI, U.S. Marshals, Secret Service, GBI, Georgia State Patrol, with an even mix of private sector security from, you know, Georgia Power, Coca-Cola, some of the larger, you know, the Forbes 500 in the Atlanta area and around Georgia. And then the rest of the time I'm working with private sector corporations. I did the emergency response protocol for the national chain for the California Pizza Kitchen Company.
Wow.
And then they in turn had me come out and take care of some friends of theirs in Los Angeles, who, it turns out, their health inspector was the San Bernardino shooter. And
really?
After that, they felt that they needed a little bit more protection.
Oh, my.
So it's I've been blessed to help a lot of people, and I try my best to continue that wherever anybody will sit still long enough and listen.
Now, you must have quite a background to have gotten into this field and started your firm that where you do all this work. Talk about your background.
It's an eclectic mix. I started with a long history in the hospitality industry. which included a lot of theft prevention, guest safety. You're working with a lot of people coming in and out. During college, I was in a high-volume rock and roll bar, and we always had three or four little skirmishes a week where you got a lot of practice dragging people out the door.
You were the bouncer.
I was the bartender.
Oh.
We all shared.
Oh, okay.
But in the process, I actually learned how to make friends doing that. Oh. You know, you drag somebody out the door, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm usually, well, it's okay. You got to go home tonight, but come back next week, and I'll buy you a beer. Mm. So that was an opportunity to make friends, provided everybody else was safe. But along and along, did more in that arena, and I was brought on board with a private investigation firm in 1996. And right out of the bat, one of my friends that I networked with was part of the Olympic Security Council. So we worked on terror attack scenarios for the Olympics in 96. And then that took off. And, of course, 9/11, everything skyrocketed. And here we are.
Wow. So talk about, I mean, our business, our owners out there that are listening, in general, how safe and protected are they?
More and more, they are very subtly protected. Anything as simple as fire codes. Fire codes have improved. The buildings are safer. The responses are safer. The alarm systems make people safer. It's becoming more and more acceptable and to have something like fire drills. So that's a good thing. And then one of the other things that I teach is I am a stop the bleed instructor. I'm part of the state of Georgia's Medical Reserve Corps through the Medical Association of Georgia, MAG-MRC. And we have taught over 1,000 people recently stop the bleed techniques, which is a response to active shooters in schools or in the workplace. But these kind of programs exist. They're easy to find and so available. It's sad that we have to have them, but they are so plentiful that the average business owner has plenty of resources to choose from.
Now, let's drill down into that as we speak with Paul Purcell. Paul is the founder, owner of InfoQuest, a disaster preparedness consultancy. Talk about active shooters, because that's in the talking about being in the news. That's been in the news here over the last several years. Talk about the state of training that goes on, maybe in some of these the schools that we have, and what maybe changes and improvements that you think are appropriate.
Well, it's a sad fact, but it is true that active shooters are on the increase slightly. And some of that is because of media. And you have your average malcontent, which it only takes one in a million to cause a problem. Statistically, you have a better chance of winning the lottery than you do of becoming a victim to a terror attack or an active shooter attack. And that's the good thing. Now, when I go into facilities to do active shooter training, I use the acronym SHOOTER, Situational Awareness, Host Facility, Options, et cetera. It's a long discussion. Mm. But the simple thing is that the missing element in every plan is good communication, because almost every shooter event that we've had, somebody knew what was going to happen above and beyond the shooters. And it was a matter of the message was not given, or the message was not believed. And so if anybody wants to improve their shooter response, number one is communication and messaging, and number two is to create within your organization, and this goes for first responders or corporate settings, but create within your organization a culture of readiness. And this could be something as simple as everybody knows where the fire extinguisher is. We've had a fire drill. Simple things that just increase the readiness. And also have good relationships with your first responder community. So if you have a sizable office building, allow your local police department to have SWAT training on occasion. So they know your location, they know your people, they know your layout. Teach CPR and first aid to your employees. It's a good employee benefit anyway, because everybody faces the risk of family emergencies and little mishaps. But then you have the fire department, who is on scene, good relationship, good networking, and they're familiar with their location. So even though, you know, you ask specifically about active shooter, we should never focus on one threat to one response. because if you have a good culture of readiness and you have a mindset that's subtly instituted that focuses on preparedness and proper response, then you're better off facing any emergency and not just active shooter.
We're speaking with Paul Purcell of InfoQuest. Paul, one of the things I remember about the initial conversation we had when we were getting to know each other, you talked about how business owners need to understand their context. It's not just their own location, but it's who. What's the business located down the hall, right? And what's where are they located relative to other businesses and other places that may put them at risk?
Absolutely. It's a matter of knowing your threats and knowing your assets. Because if you're a match company and you're down the hall from the gasoline factory, yeah, something's up. But at the same time, if you're a match company and the guy up at the other end of the hall is an extinguisher company, that's an asset. So you need to know who is involved, who's coming and going. And just from a general security standpoint, you know, who belongs on your campus, who should be there, who should not. And this is something that's gaining more and more attention in the first responder world. For example, truck stops. You have all these trucks coming in, and they're starting to divide the parking lots. You don't want corrosives next to acids. You don't want acids next to flammables. You know, milk can go anywhere. But everybody's starting to pay more and more attention.
Now, you brought me a copy of your book, Disaster Prep 101, The Ultimate Guide to Emergency Readiness. And this is impressive. All 400 pages or so. Talk a little bit about what's in this book and how you help people with this book.
Well, I used to write a civil defense volunteer column for a retired colonel, Colonel David Hackworth. And I knew I had readers, but I thought I knew both of them. And it turns out one of them was Ross Perot.
Oh, wow.
So I was invited to a day-long conference in Baltimore right outside of Washington, D.C. with Ross Perot, a few of his people, a few of Tom Ridge's people, and a former FEMA director, because Ross Perot wanted to take his old political party and turn it into a nationally networked civil defense group. And this was right after 9/11. And our biggest focus was on preparedness, because the thing is, it doesn't matter how good a continuity plan you have, a business continuity plan, or a response plan you have. If your people do not report, then it's just an academic exercise on paper. And to get people to report, their number one issue is the safety and security of their family at home. And currently, the information that we had was extremely polarized. At one end of the spectrum, we had the overly simplistic 72-hour kit stuff, which is based on the Boy Scout camping checklist. In the other end of the spectrum, we have all the outdoor survival stuff, you know, of how to, you know, possum ain't nothing but armadillo on the half shell kind of thing. So I saw this massive gap, and I wanted to fill it. So I kind of jokingly refer to this as Heloise Hintz meets Homeland Security, because there's just this massive gap in so many simple things. Again, the solutions and assets surround us on a daily basis, provided you know where to look. So I created that as the training manual that I use for training first responders, training corporate executives, key personnel who have to respond in times of crisis, and they have to make sure that the family they leave at the house is safe.
And you use this as part of all your training?
Absolutely.
Correct. Okay, great. So as we wrap up here, for those individual listeners that just want to be more safe, more aware, give them a few tips on what they need to look out for.
Well, situational awareness is always key. You know, if the weather's bad, you know, pay attention. Get a weather app. Make sure you know if there's a tornado watch issued that you're aware of it. Pay attention to what the people around you are doing. Network with your friends and family to where you have a good communication phone tree. And then whenever it hits the fan, so to speak, you really only have two reactions. People try to make things more complicated than they need to be. You either shelter in place, be safe where you are, or you evacuate. And one thing I like to tell people about evacuation is, you know, our biggest threat is actually marketers. Because the thing is, the marketers are trying to sell you equipment. And so the big push now is, oh, if you're evacuating, that means you're going to head to the hills and you need our machete and our machine gun and our flamethrower. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. It's just think of traveling light with a flight to a friend's house, and all you're allowed is carry on. So travel light and make sure you're comfortable and happy as well as physically safe. But pay attention to the assets that surround you on a daily basis. For example, in a tornado, if your family's safe room happens to be your laundry room and you have small children or small pets, put them in the dryer. It's a double-walled metal appliance. It's extra crush-resistant and projectile-resistant, and there it is every day. And then behind the washing machine, in case of fire, have you a garden hose that's long enough to reach anywhere in the house. So you have – Motel 6 has a fire hose built in the hallway. You know, your house should too. But these are just a couple of the thousands and thousands of examples that are available to people every day, every walk of life, every household.
And knowing about those ahead of time – means you are more likely to think about them when trouble hits, right?
Absolutely. Once something becomes familiar territory, then that light bulb can more easily come on than if something caught you completely by surprise.
Good advice from Paul Purcell. Paul is with InfoQuest. So, Paul, for those that would like more information, would like to be in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, we have a lot of additional free information on our website with links to our Twitter feed, LinkedIn, and all that at disasterprep101.com, disasterprep101.com. And I can be reached at paul@disasterprep101.com or by phone at 770-235-1664.
And the title of your book is Disaster Prep 101, The Ultimate Guide to Emergency Readiness. Paul Purcell, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Folks, I want to remind you on January 29th, 2019, the Greater Atlanta Business Expo is coming to the Cobb Civic Center. And simply stated, folks, this is Atlanta's biggest business-to-business expo and networking event for all business owners, large or small. Attendees come from 13 counties in metro Atlanta, so if you want to connect, network, and build valuable business relationships regionally, this event is for you. Tickets are free and available at greateratlantabusinessexpo.com. And at last count, I think there are a limited number of sponsorships and exhibitor tables available, so if you're interested in this premium exposure for your business, contact Joel Peskin. 404-447-7001. Joel will take care of you, and I am looking forward to seeing you there. Tuesday, January 29th, Greater Atlanta Business Expo. I want to thank again our guest, Lisa McGuire with Open Window Marketing, and Paul Purcell with InfoQuest. Thank you for being with us. And I want to thank Diane for making it happen on the board, and please join us next time for another edition of North Fulton Business Radio.